Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Speaking of transport, my first guests this morning are all about that. We're going to talk about holidays. You know, people swear by it, the rumble of the engine, sleeping where you park and waking up to a new view every day. Sounds like bliss, doesn't it? But is it really easier just to throw everything into a camper van, belt up and let the road decide the holiday you'll have? Well, joining me on the line now are two people who know the tarmac well. Senior lecturer at Technological University Dublin, Lorcan Sir, is joining us from Trieste in Italy. I hope I pronounced that right, Lorcan. And photographer and author Ruth Medjbar is live from Lake Tahoe in Nevada. Good morning to you both. I'm here sitting in my seat in the studio, living vicariously through both of you as you're off on your travels. Can you tell us a little bit about where you are? Lorcan, I'll start with you. Good morning.
Good morning, and I'm on the sixth floor of an apartment block in Trieste, which is the north right-hand corner of Italy, where James Joyce spent many years living. I'm looking at the blue skies and 26 degrees out there, and my camper van is parked downstairs, and it's a really, really beautiful and kind of undiscovered place on the Adriatic. And of course, that's one of the advantages of having a camper van, is you can find all these places randomly over the years as you kind of travel around the highways and byways of Europe, you know.
And Ruth, where are you? Do I believe, like, what took you to Nevada?
So I'm cheating. I'm in a hotel right now.
You're not allowed to say that.
I'm on tour. I know. I'm on tour with Hozier. I'm Hozier's tour photographer. So we're currently coming to the end of a 3-year tour. So we're out doing the States at the moment. So I've left campervan life for a little while.
Okay, well, that's allowed, to be fair. Okay, that is absolutely allowed. It's a pretty good reason to be in a hotel now, but not bad. So we're here to talk about campervanning. I'm not sure if I just made up a new word there or not, but you both are professional campervanners at this point. So I'd love to know how you both got into it. Lorcan, like, what got you interested in campervans?
Yeah, I was thinking about that yesterday, kind of when I was thinking about what we were going to chat about. And really, it is my father's sister and her husband have a haulage company in East Galway, just outside Glenamaddy, Lohan Transport. A lot of truck drivers would know them. And since I was young, maybe around 12, myself and Eddie Lohan, I used to go off with him around Europe. We'd go to Belgium and we'd go to France and Germany with steel and meat and all these kind of things. So you kind of get instilled with a kind of a love of the road. And when I was in my early 20s, I'm about 21, I did my own Arctic driving license, and all my years in university in the UK doing my master's and my PhD, I used to drive at night time up and down to Glasgow and London with meat and bread and all that kind of stuff. And when I finished my PhD, I became a professional truck driver. I spent a couple of years doing trips for Lohan's and for other companies. Yeah, I was a very highly qualified truck driver going around Europe. But, you know, it's that kind of the love of the road, you know, and it helps, like, driving trucks helps you become, you know, familiar with things like ferries and customs and tolls and vignettes. Yeah. And where to eat and what countries are strict and all that kind of stuff. So when an opportunity came up then about 21 years ago, my friend Paul Devaney in Clonmel, he was looking for a car and I was looking for a camper van. So we swapped my 1994 for his 1992 Sligo Reg camper van, a transporter that was converted. And it went on from there. So I'm on my fourth camper van now. The third one I had to sell to help fund the deposit for my house. Everything was back to housing, and unfortunately, I had to sell it. But I'm back on my feet again, and I have another one. And, you know, I do an awful lot of mileage every summer and love it. There's nothing like waking up somewhere and opening. I sleep with my head towards the driver's end, so I can slide open the door and, you know, you get fresh mountain air and a blue sky. Or even
you're
rain,
making me a bit jealous now.
Nothing,
I'm not going to lie.
There's nothing like that.
And it's funny actually that you mentioned housing, because people might know your voice for your commentary on housing on the radio. People have heard you plenty. So you're talking here about a different home for the time being. Yeah. So we will get into that a little bit in a moment. But Ruth, what about you? Like, how did camper life and camper van life find you?
Well, you know, I started touring as a music photographer a while ago, and that's where I developed, like Lorcan says, the love for the road. Mm. You know, when you're waking up in almost a different country when you're traveling Europe every day and you have a driver bringing it to just, you know, that dopamine hit where you get when you're watching like the locations go by, and it's just so exciting. It's so different, new cultures, everything. So I really had that passion for it. And then lockdown hit, we were taken off the road, my job was pretty much non-existent, and it was a very low time. And I actually had a really bad accident on my bicycle, and the doctors kind of said to me, he's like, oh, you would have died if you weren't wearing your helmet. So that was a big shock for me. And what I did is I was saving to buy a house, and I took the money I was saving to buy a house, and I just bought a camper van. I really wanted to be back on the road. I really wanted the freedom again to go exploring and traveling. I wanted that back in my life. So I just said, to hell with it. And I spent my savings on the camper van. So that was my first camper van. She was Gloria Estevan. Oh. And I haven't stopped since. Yeah,
what a name.
I love it so much.
That's an absolute fabulous name, I have to say. Top marks. Can you just explain to people, Ruth, that feeling, you know, of the open road, getting out, you know, not knowing where you're going to end up next? Like, I've personally never done it, but I've always been curious about it, a camper van life.
Yeah, I think it's highly addictive, to be honest. And it does attract a certain type of person. You know, I'm a real fidget. I can't sit still. I love being busy all the time. I need to kind of be constantly excited with new people, new cultures, new things. So for me, campervanning makes perfect sense. It's not going to suit people who are total homebirds, even though we do have our home on the road. And I've got all of my luxuries. I've got everything I need. My lovely thread count sheets, my hot shower, my central heating. It's all in the van. I'm doing it quite bougie, you know, because I'm getting on in years. But I want to be quite fancy about it, so I'm not doing it harsh or anything like. But it's kind of just awe inspiring. You're taking your leave from nature around you, and then for the crack, do you know, I'm out there meeting new people every day, especially when we pull up in little villages and towns, and you go in and you say hi to people and you find out their stories, you know. And it's just a very kind of like inclusive activity, and it's kind of hard to explain. It's hard to put your finger on it, but you definitely have to be that type of person that likes to keep moving. I always think I'm quite nomadic, you know, and I'm just like, I really need to just keep going and going and going. It's the only thing. If I'm home for more than a week, I start climbing the walls. Like, so this is the most perfect lifestyle for me.
You have found your thing that just keeps you on track and keeps you enjoying life,
exactly,
which is what you said it's all about. I will ask you in a few moments about the type of people that you meet, because again, I'm really curious about that. But Lorcan, to go back to you for a second, you know, when you're using your van to travel outside of Ireland, you know, How do you decide where to go? Like, is there any strategy that you have, or any ways of deciding?
Yeah, well, you kind of, one of the basic rules really is, if you don't know where to go, follow the sun. Right? I always find that a good one, and particularly if you're stuck somewhere. I have a friend, Frank, who also has a camper van, and you know, I texted him one day, I think last year in Europe, and said, where am I going to go now? And he just said, follow the sun. And that's exactly what it is. Ruth's point there about the dopamine here is spot on. Like, I'm a devil for taking photographs as I pass through signs, you know, the overhead gantries in Europe that say things like Riga or Budapest or Naples or something like that. Now, I press the button on the phone on the stand on the screen before people start giving out to me. But I love that hit of seeing like Stockholm on a sign or something like that, you know. So this year, the plan was, because I've never been to the Baltics before, was Lithuania, Latvia and Estonia. So I made it all the way up to the top right-hand corner. If you look at a map of Europe, the top right-hand corner of Estonia is a place called Narva. And I was literally 100 meters looking over the river at the Russians. And I have a picture of the Russian flag flying on the other side of the border, and then hightailed it all the way back down through Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, Austria, and down here into Italy. But where you just make a plan of where you want to go, or where your partner wants to go, or you decide together, or whatever it is, you make that kind of plan and see. And the Baltics was a big one, because that had never been done in my household before. And then also what you also find, though, Anna, in the last few years, is the weather is getting hotter in southern Europe. So there's a tendency to say, well, you know, we don't want to be boiling in the camper van in 40 degrees. So the Baltics was very much mid-20s and quite comfortable, you know.
So when you're parking up then, whenever you arrive somewhere, you know, how do you decide where to park up? Like, what are you looking out for? Are you tending to stick to campsites or what's your preference?
Yeah, it's a good question. In Ireland, there's lots of well-known campsites like the Axons, Cliff Axons, Eco Beach, overlooking Omi Island, or Hillary's Getaway down in Dungarvan, or Greatham, or whatever. There's loads of those. that are well known. Lots of pubs in Ireland now are getting better. If you knock on a pub door in Ireland and say, look, if I come in and have, you know, a meal or two and a few pints or whatever, can we stay in the car park, took away? I've never been refused in a pub. Mm. The UK has always been very good at that. The pubs are very good at letting you stay in car parks. And Irish pubs are getting much better as well. There's more of them that will say, you know, no problem, park in the car park and stay the night until you're gone in the morning. And of course, campervan people tend to be relatively well behaved and will spend a few quid. You know, it's not stag parties you're bringing in. Mm-hmm. But the other one in Europe, though, there's a really good app, and I don't know whether Ruth has ever used it. It's called Park for Night. So Park, P-A-R-K, and then a number 4, and then N-I-G-H-T. And it's a tenner a year. And that is a lifesaver. Everywhere you go, every country I've been in, you know, if I'm stuck, particularly I'm stuck in somewhere I've never been before, rural Slovakia or somewhere, you know, you put in Park for a night and there might be one, might be 50 kilometres away, it might be 3 in the next town. But that is always really good and allows you to contact and tells you what facilities and services to have, like running water and showers and, you know, loo and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that has been a lifesaver on many occasions, the Park for a night app, worth the tenner a year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like your Google Maps for campsites. I mean, it's brilliant, really, especially if you're new to it and you're not quite sure where to go. It's a great place to start.
Yeah, and it covers Ireland as well. There's a lot of them, you know, so you can just use it in Ireland or you can use it anywhere you want in Europe.
Definitely. And Ruth, what about you then? You know, do you stick to campsites or do you kind of see where it takes you?
You know what? I'm kind of allergic to campsites. I can't stand them.
Allergic.
I'm allergic to campsites. I can't. So my van will, like, bless her now. It's a sad story, but she burnt down in February, but we're going to go again with another one soon enough. But we had her decked out that it was fully off-grid. So we could, we had the solar panels and the diesel heater and everything. And then the hot shower and the everything that we needed to completely live without power, without shore power. So we never needed to be hooked up to anything. The only time that we needed to come back kind of inland was to empty the water tanks, empty the black tank and fill up the water tank, the fresh water tank. So it meant that we could stay out, that we could park up on a secluded beach, or we could park in the woods or park on a lake or something like that. So somewhere really rural and really discreet, and we could park there for maybe a week at a time. And that's just lovely. The freedom of doing that is definitely kind of what I prefer. I'm just not the kind of person that likes the pitches and the campsites and the kids mm-hmm. and the dogs and the, you know, the stuff that's going on. I totally understand why people need them. You know, they're safe and secure, and you've got a shower if you don't have one in your van. But for me, I kind of like the wildness of it. And the app there that Laura mentioned is fantastic, even if you do the likes of wild camping as well, because it tells you where you can dump your waste, and it tells you, you know, it also, from the point of view of safety as well, it kind of, campervan people is such a great community, because they'll always try and warn you if they've come across something, whether an area in Bilbao that people camp in gets repeatedly broken into, or if the sand is wet in certain places. And then they'll put a phone number in the app. It's like, if you ring this phone number, the farmer in the field next door will give you a tow out if you give him 50 quid. So there's all this fantastic information. Amazing. That's just, you know, crowd generated. So it's a real community. Yeah. So even if, whether you're going campsites or whether you're going wild or you're knocking on the pub door, like, it's the community of people really, and everyone that does it in that lifestyle, they're really, really helpful. So it's a lovely way to be.
That's excellent to know as well, as you said, that safety element. And I know you tend to travel with your partner in the camper van, but you, before you met your partner, had a camper van, and your partner also had a camper van before you met. So it was like camper van love at first sight. But I presume you used it, you know, before on your own, you know, like, just as a woman moving through and, you know, in different areas. Like how important was the safety aspect of that for you? Or was that not something that came to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I still camp on my own, and I'm totally fine with that. As long as you take precautions, you know, as long as you're clever about things. I don't post in real time either. So when I'm doing social media and stuff from the camper van, I don't ever share my location until I'm long gone. And that's to stop people from Instagram and from Twitter and stuff knocking on the door, which I've had once or twice, which is quite kind of frightening. And then other things I do is you know what, I'll always leave it with a small speaker on inside when I'm out in the van so it doesn't get broken into when I'm not there. You make sure to have a good look around the area when you're parking up to spot any other vehicles. Say hi to people in other vehicles who are camping there so they know that you're there, they know to look after you and you can look after them. So it's a real just, it's precautions that you take every day in your life, you know, but you just take them differently in a camper van. And it's just, I've never felt unsafe, you know. There's times when the wind is howling and the rain is bashing and you're getting a little bit like, ooh, but otherwise it's totally fine. Lock yourself in at night so no one's going to break in. And yeah,
similar to going traveling on your own anywhere, you just take the precautions and make sure that you're
just be aware.
Yeah.
Larkin, common sense, you know, common sense prevails. Yeah,
absolutely. Larkin, like Ruth was talking there about being on the hunt for a new camper van, let's talk costs for a second, because you know the life sounds appealing, it definitely does, and I won't lie, now the two of you both are luring me into the prospect of getting on the road myself, but what are we talking when it comes to costs?
Yeah, it very much depends on what you want. There are a lot of camper vans out there that are converted other vans. So a Volkswagen Transporter would be a very common one, or a Ford Transit or a Mercedes Sprinter. People would buy them secondhand with maybe high mileage and then convert them. And there are companies in Ireland that would convert an ordinary like ex-carpenter's van into a camper van and put in the kitchen and the gas hob and the bed. And you need like to be considered as a camper van for tax and insurance reasons. There are certain criteria that need to be met. So it needs to have a permanent gas cooker. It needs to be able, you need to be able to stand up in it. That doesn't mean the roof in my van like elevates and comes down again. It doesn't need to be permanently high, but you need to be able to stand up in it. It needs a permanent bed and all that kind of stuff. And that qualifies then for camper van taxation and road tax and insurance. But that's a kind of a cheaper option, is to buy a secondhand van and get it converted. And you're still, the conversion itself is still in the region of about 15,000, I think, if you go professional to do that. A lot of people do it themselves if you're, you know, good with your hands and things like that. Other than that, if you're buying them, I use a website called mobile.de, mobile.de, and it's in English as well. And I tend to buy my camper vans from Germany over the years. I've had a 1987 one, which also went on fire, route. The wiring under the dash lit up one day. I've had a 02 one, and now my one I have now is about 4 years old. And I buy them in Germany. Now, the VRT is a hit. That's quite considerable when you're bringing them in from Europe. But mine have all been left-hand drives. And the reason I buy left-hand drives is because when I go to sell them, the market is much bigger. You know, I have people coming from Germany to buy them rather than, you know, Irish people tend not to like left-hand drives. So you have a bigger market to sell them. But you know, a new camper van, even a small Volkswagen California, which is quite a small one, would have popped up as over €100,000. They are very expensive. And they became hugely popular during COVID, and the price of them shot up. You know, I had my very old one, I bought for €5,000 or pounds or whatever it was, and I sold it for more than twice that many years ago. So they're very popular and they hold their value very well. It's an investment, though.
Of course.
That's really what it is. Yeah, and you need to use it then when you have it.
Exactly, because there's no point having it sitting in the drive. Can I ask, what are drivers like on the roads in different countries?
Well, I'll give you one in Italy, which I learned from my truck driving days. They always say in Italy there's only three controls in an Italian car. That's the accelerator, the volume and the horn, right? And that's kind of the way out here, it's very different. When you go to Switzerland, they're much more strict. The rules of the road are much more strictly enforced. I've got stopped in Switzerland several times and the police will turn around and look at how bald my tyres are or not. You know, they'll test the depth of the tread on the tyres. Also, some countries are more lax or more stringent than others. Definitely the further south you go, the more adventurous, shall we say, the driving becomes. And Switzerland in particular is one where they're very pernickety about everything, and there's minimum distances between vehicles and things like that. And the other thing to remember, like when you're abroad, that doesn't really happen in Ireland. I've been several times in the middle of nowhere in the countryside in Belgium and other countries, and a customs person will step out with their big yellow bib and their gun, and they'll pull you into a lay-by and they'll go through your van. And they're like, we only expect customs at ports. Yeah. But they're looking for like illegal cigarettes and drinking and how much you have. And nowadays, the borders have gone back up now between Belgium and Germany, or between the Netherlands and Germany, and between Germany and Poland and Lithuania and Latvia. So I've come through borders for the first time in 20 years. I got stopped by border police and soldiers this year coming from Slovenia into Italy here. And this is, again, it's related to immigration. And now, they're not particularly strict, but they're just looking to see if you have other people. So you need to be aware of those kind of things. But like, if you're legal and have all your paperwork, including your insurance certificate, not just the bits that you stick on the whole certificate, and you have all your paperwork, like, they should usually never have a problem.
The practical advice coming in from both of you this morning is excellent. I just wanted to learn about your travels, and now you're giving everybody else all the, they're all Googling now everything with camper van related things afterwards. Ruth, I know I want to say the very best of luck on your hunt for your new van, and I know that next year you're completing a portrait piece. You're going to be travelling every county in the country, taking portraits of people in Ireland. So you're going to be living with your partner and the puppy in the van full time. So good on you. I hope you have a very comfortable stay in the new van. And I'm wishing you continued success on the road. And I'm looking forward to seeing where you're going to be going to. Ruth Medjber and Larkin, sir, thank you so much for taking the time. And enjoy your travels wherever you go. Close your eyes and pick a spot in the map and go there next. Thanks so much, guys. Text coming in again about the camper vans. You love your camper vans. My wife and I spent over 3 decades camper vanning around Ireland and Europe, had amazing holidays with our sons in the most remote and beautiful places, and are now still into it as lucky retirees. That comes in from Michael. We have another one in. A few years ago, I happened upon a Bob Dylan exhibition. This is about the metalwork. In addition to sketching art, many of his metalworking pieces were on exhibit, each representative of one of his songs. Gorgeous, which were handwritten. Apparently, Bob is very passionate about wet metalworking. See, every day is a school day. I didn't know that. Thank you very much. We bought our 1991 Talbot Ducato campervan 3 years ago. Last year, we got the ferry down from Rosslare to Cherbourg and drove through 11 countries from France all the way up to Sweden and back down through Switzerland, Austria, and never even got a puncture. Well, now that is very impressive. I have to say, it was the trip of a lifetime. That comes in from Mick in Wexford. And it's great. Like, I think as well, there is that question of how expensive they would be to run. But, you know, we heard already from Larkin about how, you know, it depends on the size of the van, depends on how it's equipped, and also where you're going and how long. Because if you're only going somewhere in Ireland, I would imagine you can limit the costs. If you're going further afield, you might need to get the piggy bank out and get a few savings going. But definitely everybody here that is into the camper van life seems to absolutely love it.